Please go ahead, sir. This afternoon's conference call is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this introductory call, specifically targeted to accommodate new GNSO counselors, but also something that'll provide a recording for anyone who wants to listen in. And so thanks and welcome to those incoming counselors who have joined, and also those of you who are already on the council who've come along for the ride, as it were. My name's Jonathan Robinson. You'll know me as the current chair of the GNSO Council. And we've put this together as part of a package of measures, really, to try and make the introduction to the council as professional, harmonious, and consistent as possible. So the material we'll cover will be either very familiar or unfamiliar, depending on the extent of your background. I'll try to make it as varied and as useful as possible, but for those of you that have got greater experience of these things, forgive me if some of it seems fairly rudimentary, but we really want to set an appropriate benchmark for everyone and make sure that we work with you as effectively as possible as a council and work with one another. So thanks again for attending. I know everyone's got busy schedules for all sorts of reasons, and so I'll try and take us through a presentation as efficiently as possible while still covering the key material. So first and foremost, this is an opportunity to welcome councillors and try and give you some common background to the council and finding your way around the council's work and put you in as best as possible shape in the run-up to Buenos Aires, our annual meeting, which takes place in a little over a week from now. Here's a mugshot of me, so you know, but I'm the elected chair of the council, one of the councillors representing the registry stakeholder group, but in my capacity as chair, I am responsible for chairing the council in an even-handed or neutral way. As you know, the council, and as you may well be familiar with, the council fits in as part of the GNSO, which fits in as part of a more complex and multifaceted multi-stakeholder model that is the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, made up of the advisory committees to the board, as you see here on the slide in front of you, and the supporting organizations, of which the GNSO is one, joined by, alongside it, by the CCNSO and the ASO, Address Supporting Organization. So we all live in a mass of acronyms and readily throw them around. Of course, the GNSO is the generic name supporting organization and responsible for policy development related to top-level domains. And what we've had to remind ourselves and others about a couple of times recently is really that GNSO is the primary and sole body within the ICANN multi-stakeholder model charged with developing policy in relation to generic top-level domains. And so it finds itself in an absolutely critical function and something which we are keen to proactively assert and effectively manage as the council and produce the required output on the basis of our work. The council itself is made up of 21 councillors coming together from six different constituencies or stakeholder groups and some appointees to the council via the ICANN nominating committee. Of course, the structure is made up of a bicameral or two-part structure, two-sided structure, the so-called contracted parties and the non-contracted parties house in a balanced structure with certainly in terms of representation at the council level, or the number of councillors varies on the two different sides. And then there are a variety of non-voting observer appointees to the council. My understanding is that opportunity exists for the government advisory committee as well, the government advisory committee, the GAC, but it's something they haven't taken up for some time. And of the non-com appointees, one is assigned to either house and is able to vote in that house, or vote. They are voting appointees. And then there's a third non-com appointee that is a non-voting appointee. I guess I should say I'm open to questions and discussion at any time, but perhaps it's most efficient if I walk through the presentation. But if you feel there is a point you'd like to make of information or a question, by all means, come on and make it during the course of the presentation itself. Of course, the community structures that are made up are on the contracted parties house, the registry stakeholder group and the registrar stakeholder group. Relatively recently, there are some structures, at least within the registry stakeholder group, which has a capacity to absorb, to create observer members, and in and around the new GTLD program, this so-called NTAG group has been particularly dynamic and instrumental, but there are others such as the brand registry group, which may or may not find a home within the registry stakeholder group in future, and there is the on the non-contracted parties house, the non-commercial stakeholders group and commercial stakeholders group, respectively comprising a number of different constituencies and who themselves have councillors who are appointees for representing those constituencies on the council. So critically, the council is, and this is a sensitive topic to some, and it needs to be asserted, and we'll discuss it some more in the future, but council has its fundamental role is as manager of the policy development process. It is potentially mistakenly seen as a hierarchical executive functioning body, whereas in fact, although it is representative of all of the components of the GNSO, is not intended to be primarily an executive decision-making body, but more a body that sets in course and manages the policy process. Ultimately, through voting thresholds, through a series of carefully balanced voting thresholds, which take place typically at our meetings, which we run once per month normally, and they run for typically 2 hours. Occasionally longer, but generally they are kept to a fairly tight two-hour schedule. Decisions are made through the submission of formal motions, which we recently clarified exactly how far in advance the meeting they need to be submitted, and that's 10 days in advance of the meeting. And then, of course, significantly, much of the hard yards are covered by the policy work which is undertaken in working groups, and you'll see from the slide in front of you on the fourth bullet point that these are open working groups. They're open to participation from anyone, and, you know, I think it's one of those things where there are, from a variety of sources, both within ICANN, within our kind of our community, if you like, and outside, questions as to the efficiency, effectiveness, and other elements of how we function and work. And so I think, for me, it's very important to emphasize things like the openness of our working groups, the structures with which we work, in some ways, the uniqueness of the model, without being defensive, to recognize the qualities of the multi-stakeholder model and the ways in which it works, and to defend those where appropriate. Of course, to improve and develop them where appropriate as well. From the council functioning point of view, you'll see in the next slide that we hope and expect that councillors will be present at every meeting. The attendance is recorded, so it's a matter of public record, and the meetings themselves are recorded. If a council member can't attend, the intention is that they should inform the GNSO secretariat in advance of the meeting, and your stakeholder group or constituency can appoint a proxy or alternate in the case of your planned absence. In terms of the kind of commitment you might expect to make, I mean, typically it's something in the region of a few hours per week. It can be, this is a little bit of a how long is a piece of string question, but there's a lot of material floating around. And one of my, again, personal objectives, something I'd like to talk about some more, is ensuring we are as engaged as possible and active. There is some risk that we're active at the meetings themselves, at the telephone meetings, and shortly around them, but not necessarily in between. So keeping a moderate level of activity going throughout the piece between the meetings as well is important. Of course, typically the intensity increases as we head up to the ICANN, one of the three annual public meetings, and you'll see that as there's a sort of deluge of documents and items to discuss and prepare for, and in particular that impacts, well, I guess all councillors, but the vice chairs, and in particular there's a sort of tradition being established where one of the vice chairs is responsible for, significantly responsible together with ICANN policy staff for arranging the schedule and all of the logistics around the meeting. So that tends to take up a lot of work in the run-up to the actual meetings. As manager of the policy development process, there are some very nice graphical slides available on the GNSO Council website, and I encourage anyone to, even if you've been on the Council for a while, to refresh yourself by looking at these, but in particular for new councillors and those in the groups and constituencies, it's very useful to be able to see the representation of how we actually work and give it as a sort of, so this slide shows a roadmap of a summarized version of the policy development process and the cycle it goes through. And I think, Marika, this is something you were involved in working on preparing it a little while back now, but it's certainly, I've always found it very useful to see how the process evolves. One of the things that we've brought in over the last year or so is a focus on continuous improvement within the council. And in fact, arguably this session and related sessions fits in as part of that, is making sure there was, as there are with many times with organizations, we place a lot of emphasis on recruitment, getting people onto something like the council, and then don't make sufficient effort to engage, induct, and ensure that they are up to speed and appropriately plugged in. So the induction and training side is something we've worked on, and you'll see there's a link in the chat that's been prepared there for more detailed graphics and information about the GNSO policy development process. An area of active attention at the moment is improving and streamlining the GNSO PDP. One of the areas where the GNSO has come in for some criticism in the past has been what may be perceived as over slow or time-consuming policy development process. The reason I hesitate there is because actually a policy development process that has inputs from many different groups and which has ultimately a binding contractual impact on the affected parties, by definition should be deliberative and thorough. So there's a fine line between ensuring something is deliberative and thorough, but ensuring equally that it's productive and efficient. And so that's really where that second bullet is all about, is recognizing that there could well be room for improvement and streamlining, but also at the same time being cautious not to over-egg that component when, frankly, it is useful to chew things through things properly, have the adequate opportunity for public comment and other input. In addition, based on a previous round of the previous review of the GNSO, a whole lot of improvements came out of that process, and what was set up alongside the council was a standing committee to deal with the improvements implementation that came out of that previous review. And very, very recently, the council has agreed that that standing committee should be exactly as it says, a standing committee that is there on an ongoing basis, for which will review and provide input into where council improvements can be made in terms of operating procedures and mechanics of operating, because inevitably, sooner or later, minor issue. I mean, one of the issues we've got, just to give a very practical example, is how do we handle voting? Under what circumstances is it acceptable to have a voice vote, or could we vote by email? And these are simple procedural things, but can be pretty meaningful to those who put the original process in place and who might be affected or impacted by a change in the process. So that's the kind of thing we might refer to the standing committee to chew on and come back with a recommendation. And in fact, through all of this, really, I guess we should anticipate that in the not-too-distant future, we expect a review of the GNSO, and as part of that review, a review of the council and, in particular, the policy-making functions within the GNSO. And so anything we can do to either anticipate what might come out of that or participate in that is something which is relevant under the banner of continuous improvement. I'm going to whip through these next slides, but you will all receive a copy of this. But essentially, it's a set of head and shoulder photographs, and so that you can readily identify the colleagues on the council and how they fit together. So you've got the registry stakeholder group, the registrar stakeholder group, and what I've done is to assist anyone joining the council to highlight in green, as I have done on the registrars here with James. Welcome, James. To just make sure that it's clear who's joined the council at this current round. So we've got
registrar. Hey, Jonathan. Jonathan.
Yes.
This is John Berard.
John, fire away.
Hey, can we have each of the new people say a few words about themselves?
John, we don't have everyone on the call, so my thought is, and we have this organized for our meeting, which you haven't seen an agenda of, but will come out very, very shortly for next Friday. So there's a proper, Friday 22nd, the second Friday. So I do think we should give people an opportunity to introduce themselves, but since not everyone's on the call, my suggestion is we leave it for when we get together in Buenos Aires, if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me. All right.
Okay, great. Thanks. It's a good suggestion. Thanks. Sorry. So Daniel Reed, for example, is the new incoming nominating committee appointee who replaces Lanre Adeje. And Lanre, Daniel was unable to be on this call at the moment, but I expect he'll probably listen to the recording. But in any event, hopefully we'll all get to meet one another, or we will in Buenos Aires. So flipping through then, we've got the representative of the commercial stakeholder group, two new newcomers, although not necessarily new to the ICANN scene, in the form of Gabriella and Mikey. So welcome both of you, and I know you both on the call, so that's great. And I know, Mikey, you at least had a pressing other engagement, so thank you for making the time to join us here, and I will continue with my commitment to be as efficient as possible on this call, and of course welcome Gabriella. On the non-commercial stakeholder group side, we've again got two new joiners, Avri and Amir. Avri is someone who is well known within the broader ICANN community and in fact has spent her fair share of time on the council in the past, so to that extent she's not a newcomer, but in any event is new to the council at this stage. And Amir I've yet to meet, but if you do listen to the recording, Amir, welcome, and of course the same to you, Avri. And then there's the colleagues from the ALAC and the CCNSO. And I've highlighted Patrick in green, although he technically joined us around about a month ago. He's pretty new on the scene as well, replacing the previous CCNSO liaison. So there's a few URLs in the next slide, slide 19, which really highlight that there are a set of core materials that are worth familiarizing yourself to to the extent you can. First of all, there's obviously a dedicated website to the GNSO, and that's gnso.icann.org. And within that, you can find the GNSO operating procedures, working group guidelines, and PDP manual, as well as some basics that staff helpfully put together called the GNSO 101 materials. And from memory, those haven't been around that long, so even those of you who've been around for a while might find some of that a useful sort of refresher. And then in addition, we run an active projects list, which covers in detail the active work going on within the GNSO and typically as being managed by the council. But more than that, what we've also instituted is a more shorthand and quick and dirty, if you like, action items list. So as and when items come up in the council, either on email or in the regular meetings, they are committed to an action list, reviewed on a periodic basis, and of course removed once they're complete. So there isn't a URL to the action items list here, but if anyone struggles to find it, let Glenn or one of the policy staff know, and they'll be sure to link you with that so you can see who's actively, and that'll involve you as councillors when and if you commit to doing something at the council level, you'll find yourself, your name appearing on that action items list. As far as planning for Buenos Aires is concerned, well, thank you to those of you who have managed to attend today, of course. There's the policy update webinar coming up later today, the second version of that, instance of that. We've typically formed a tradition where we have a council dinner on the first Saturday of each ICANN meeting, so I really hope you can join us. It's something where we don't necessarily have a fixed agenda. We typically try and work either with a local host or a councillor who's familiar with the area, book somewhere nice. I'm afraid it comes out of your own tab, but it is a really worthwhile evening to get to know the councillors, relax a little bit with them, and the associated policy staff. So please do try and come to that if you possibly can, if you haven't got pressing other engagements. It's good fun, and mostly people enjoy the opportunity. Uniquely, and for the first time, we've got this GNSO Council development session on the 22nd of November, which is a combination of targeting both the incoming councillors and making them feel welcome and furthering this sort of orientation work that we're doing, but also, frankly, it's part about developing the whole council to the extent that it can be as a functioning team. Now, the real challenge there is, as many of you will know, is quite often councillors not only have their own views and positions, but are required to represent those of the group or constituency, which can be quite substantially different from one another. And so what the objective of this session is about on the 22nd of November is really making sure that we both induct councillors into the council, we orient the council and the councillors within the greater GNSO, and to that extent we're inviting other participants other than the councillors to the first session on that day, and then finally try and understand each other's both personal and GNSO-based motivations and structures in which we work, so we're more empathetic to each other's ways of working, mechanics of working, and personal style in order to overall make the council as productive and effective as possible. So there you have it. Please make sure your stakeholder group or constituency that you represent is both aware of the GNSO working sessions on the weekend, on the prior weekend, which is the 16th and 17th, because bear in mind those are GNSO working sessions, not just for the council. So we welcome input and participation from and by members of those different groups and constituencies, but also that they're aware of the 22nd of November meeting and what that's intended to do, because from my point of view, it's both, I guess, a trial. It's the first time we've done it, so it's something which we're experimenting with to some extent. But I'd also like the stakeholder groups and constituencies to know the effort that we and you as councillors are making to attempt to get the business of the council done as productively and as effectively as possible as part of an overall effective multi-stakeholder model. Gabriella. I see your question is about a training program on Saturday, and that's a really good question. Let's take that offline. I'm not, and Mikey too. I suspect that's the back end of council leadership training. The community leadership training. But as you're not, I mean, technically, I suppose, as you're not yet on the council, I would suggest coming to as much of the Saturday and Sunday sessions as you can manage, but as you will only be joining the council on Wednesday of that week, technically you're not on the council over the weekend. So for your orientation, it would be great if you could attend, but technically you're not on the council. So I hope that helps inform you there. I'd love to have you around on the weekend, but you're not actually seated as part of the council on the weekend. You only formally get appointed to the council on Wednesday the 20th. So here we are. This next slide covers it really. So we've got the weekend sessions on Saturday and Sunday. We've got working group meetings and the joint CCNSO-GNSO meeting on Monday. Now, this is a pretty typical schedule, so you should be able to more or less rely on this shape for future ICANN meetings as well, subject obviously to other changes. And then on Tuesday, we've got the stakeholder group and constituency meetings. And then on Wednesday, we're having the face-to-face meetings of the GNSO Council. Now, that says meetings. Let me just say two things here. One, on Tuesday, we have our stakeholder group and constituency meetings. And what we've found, what we've tried to create, and I believe it's later on the Tuesday, is a little bit of space in case there is anything potentially contentious on the Wednesday council meeting. For the first time, we've created a window in the schedule for councillors to come together on the Tuesday and essentially by creating the space, facilitate the opportunity to discuss anything contentious and try and resolve it ahead of the meeting. Because one of the issues we've had in the past is when we've gone into the Wednesday meeting, if we haven't had the opportunity to discuss our respective positions coming out of our stakeholder group and constituency meetings, there is the potential to lock horns unnecessarily and unproductively in the Wednesday meeting. So that's what that's all about. These are open meetings, they're public meetings, and we've together with the policy staff and the meeting staff, managed to secure a very nice high-profile slot for the council on Wednesday, which is a two-hour slot, which we'll work to fill with as interesting as possible material to have both an engaged council but an engaged public participation in the council. And then we will adjourn that public meeting and go off to a second, slightly lower-profile public meeting where we'll deal with the incoming new councillors joining the council and electing the chair going forward. And then I think as a second part of that meeting, we plan to meet with the ATRT2 team, the Accountability and Transparency Review team, and give them some feedback on their draft final report. Thursday, we go into more working group meetings, and we have a thing called a GNSO Council wrap-up, which, again, some of you might know about. And there what we try to do is pull together the threads of the week which have come through from the weekend sessions, the Wednesday meeting, and any other discussions or themes that have come through, and try and pull that together into a form of work plan or closing up of issues going forward. That's a two-hour session from 10:30 to 12:30 on Thursday. So it's a pretty full week. As a councillor, you've drawn into quite a lot of activity, And there's plenty going on. And the full schedule, the URL to the full schedule is covered at the base of slide 21. And I have mentioned this development session on Friday the 22nd, but here's a summary of what to expect. It's aimed at introducing and integrating new council members and as well as enhancing council effectiveness and working methods going forward. So to the extent that you'd like to, by all means, share either this slide or this whole presentation with your groups. It's intended to be not overly formal, but productive, interactive, and fun. And if successful, it's something we'll think about making as part of an annual event linked into the annual ICANN meeting, which, of course, this session is. We're having a breakfast session prior to that. So this meeting begins at 10 o'clock on Friday the 22nd. For an hour before that, at 9 a.m. on Friday the 22nd, there'll be an opportunity to, especially for new counselors, to come in and take anything that's arisen out of this session or anything else that's come up over the week to have some initial discussion over breakfast and just have that face-to-face with the council leadership team. And I think policy staff will probably join us there as well. So there'll be an opportunity to meet there, and I'll give you a proper invite to that as well. Finally, there's a last couple of slides here on introducing you to the policy staff. Marika, maybe I should let you just whip through this so we don't need to talk in detail about everyone, but if you wouldn't mind just giving, if you're on mic and are able to, why don't you just say a couple of words over these next few slides and just make sure that everyone is able to, that you just introduced people.
Sure. Thanks, Jonathan. Hi, everyone. This is Marika. I think most of you know me, and most of you, I think, have met me in person, but I just wanted to take the opportunity indeed to introduce the team that's supporting you behind the scenes and as well during meetings and working groups. So we're headed up by our fearless leader, David Olive, who's the Vice President for Policy Development, so also overlooking the other teams that support the other supporting organizations and advisory committees within ICANN. He's currently located in Istanbul in Turkey, and the hub that ICANN has opened there recently. So I myself am based in the ICANN office in Brussels, in Belgium, and then we have Glenn Saint-Gerry, who's, I think, the heart of the GNSO by forming the GNSO secretariat. She's based in Cannes in France. And I think for anyone interested in some historic facts and figures about the GNSO, you definitely need to talk to her, because she's been there from the start when it was still called the DNSO, which eventually migrated into the GNSO. Then we have Mary Wong, who is our latest addition to the policy team. She's based in New Hampshire in the U.S. I think many of you know her as well as a former community member and former GNSO Council member as well. Judy Headland is located in Washington, D.C. She also supports the ASAC, but also has some responsibilities within our team. Lars Hoffman, based in Brussels as well, just as I am. And then we're also supported by Barry Cobb, who joins the team as a consultant who's based in Scottsdale, U.S., and Natalie Peregrine, who works closely together with Glenn on secretariat support functions. And I think that's it. And, of course, we have other colleagues that that join us from time to time in support efforts for the GNSO, depending on what the needs and expertise required is. But I think this is really the core team that you'll see on a daily basis, either on the mailing list or during meetings. And just want to, you know, extend as well my welcome to everyone that's coming on to the council, and just know that if there are any questions or anything you need assistance with, you know, you can always write to any of us, and we'll do our best to assist.
Thanks, Marika, and thanks to you and all of your colleagues. So that's a whistle-stop tour through the GNSO, the GNSO Council, our plans for Buenos Aires, some key links, the critical support provided by policy staff, and an introduction to, you know, of course, the colleagues on the council. So I think we've done a pretty good job of doing that in just over 30 minutes. So I'd welcome any questions, but I hope that's at least oriented those of you coming on to the council, and I see a question from James Bladel. So, James, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks to everybody for putting this together. I think this is very well done, and also I think orientated should be a word, but that's just my personal preference. So a question, and I think this probably, this certainly goes for myself and Mikey, and I think some other folks that are, you know, incoming into the council. I'm looking maybe for some guidance from you or policy staff. We're very involved in other activities. For example, Mikey and I chair PDP, and we're members of, you know, the standing committee, and I think some of us have some commitments as well to things like review teams. And my question is, it's probably one, there's a formal question and then more of an informal cultural question is, What is the expectation from council as far as beginning to disengage and take more neutralized position in some of the other elements of the community that we're functioning, or is that pretty much fair game? Is it fair and above board for us to continue those functions, or should we begin to extricate ourselves from those other commitments and other positions?
Thanks, James. It's a really good question, and it's an interesting one. I mean, I think in some ways what you're targeting is there some sense of a requirement, A, for councillors to be neutral and therefore a potential, in a sense, conflict of interest between taking an active role in a working group and your function as a councillor? My personal opinion on this is that these things aren't in conflict at all, and the only issue that you face is that of capacity to handle the work, but providing you either can personally handle it and or your employer will tolerate it, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't continue to be active in the policy function as well as take your role as a counsellor. I think it enables you to be a well-informed counsellor, and in any event, you will, as I understand it, and this is something we'll cover a little bit more on Friday the 22nd as well, you'll be directed to vote as far as certain things are concerned, or at least be representing your stakeholder group. So regardless of your personal opinions, which you're always entitled to have and in fact to speak out to, you're still going to be voting on representing your group. So personally, I don't see any concern with or conflict between those, apart from your capacity to do so. Welcome any other comments, if anyone's got any thoughts on that. But it's
just as a follow-up question or observation, thank you, Jonathan. I mean, there's always, when you're discussing conflict, there's always the formal conflict and then always the perception of conflict. And I think, you know, that's something that perhaps Mikey and I can take back to our working group that we not only participate in, but we are co-chairs, and just ensure that the members of that group are comfortable with the new arrangement. So thank you for the guidance.
Any other comments or questions? Yeah, I mean, Mary, just to highlight, Mary Wong has put in the chat that a number of councillors, past and present have chaired working groups and drafting teams. I mean, Thomas Ricketts, a current example, who's a non-com appointee to the contracted party's house, and Thomas has, by all accounts, very ably chaired the IGO working group, PDP working group, and since having been on the council. But there are many, many examples. Any other comments or questions before we let you get on with the rest of your busy working days? Maria. Go ahead, Maria. Maria, I'm not sure if you're on the telephone or on the Adobe audio. You're not coming through to us. I see you typing. We'll be patient for a moment. That's a good question. Maria's put a question into the chat, and Amir, I see your hand up as well, so I'll come to you in a moment. Maria's question relates to the activity on the mailing list and so on. I don't know that I can give you an immediate answer as to the activity. I mean, I think my sense, Maria, is at a very broad level, there's been a significant distraction from a number of us in the community at large by the new GTLD program. It's absorbed immense amounts of energy, and so I think to some extent it's been a distracting factor. Frankly, this is an opinion that to some extent, it sucked work out of the normal community mechanisms as well, including up into the board and the new GTLD program committee and so on. And I would expect, my anticipation is that down the road, in the not-too-distant future, a more normal work pattern might emerge. And I think it's that may happen naturally to some extent, but I think it's up to all of us as well to assert the appropriate role and function of the council and the councillors and start to be as active as we can about initiating productive, interesting, and useful work for within the remit that we have. So that's my two cents worth. Thanks, James. I see you supporting that. Amir, I'm not sure if you're on audio, but let me make the space for you to talk if you are.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. This is Amir. I was wondering about the slide early on in the presentation regarding the GNSO PDP. It's a great slide, but I was wondering whether we would have the opportunity to discuss that at more length. I think it's very important for new councillors coming in to serve their stakeholder groups to have a clear understanding of how the PDP works. And I, for one, have some questions that have been raised during some work over the past year on different working groups. So is this something we're going to go over I believe we have this day on November 22nd. Is this something we're going to go over in more detail than we have today, or is this the sort of thing we should just bring up as questions during the course of our work? Thanks.
That's another great question, and thanks for that, Amir. I suppose there's a couple of thoughts, really. First of all, I would encourage you to both personally and to study the material and share it, and to the extent that questions come from yourself and the group, because that just happens to be one of a package of materials that have been prepared, I think, from Marika, who I see is volunteering to assist. So maybe we can try and that's a really good idea, actually. Maybe we can try and fit in some opportunity to both reintroduce the PDP process, discuss it as it currently exists, hear any questions of it as it currently exists, and that's a perfect segue into our current work, which is about improving the way in which we do that. So I think you've touched a nice, I wouldn't say a hot button, but hot button normally implies a problem, and it's not so much that it's a problem, but it's an opportunity for us to engage with the PDP process, both how it does work and how we might improve it. So thanks. Perfect. And I see we'll try and thread that into the agenda. All right, great. So it's clear we have potentially the opportunity to improve that. It's very, very, very difficult to know how much time and energy to spend on some of this because we don't want to, but that's great to get that encouragement, and we'll try and weave that into the weekend agenda, that better education on and discussion of the PDP process and then also how we might improve it. Perfect. Maria, your hand is still up, but I suspect that is from previously. Can I check if there's any other questions or comments or anyone else wants to say anything before we wrap up this particular meeting? All right, well, I'll just wait for a final remark from David. But in the meantime, thanks, David. Yes, thank you to you and your GNSO policy staff for both Marika. I have to give credit, assisted me substantially with this presentation, and as usual, able to rely on Glenn, Marika, and the rest of the colleagues in the GNSO policy staff to assist with various things, and they're always willing to assist, so much appreciated. And thank you to all of you who took the time out to attend. I know there's a lot of pressing stuff before heading off on a week or more away, so thanks again. I really look forward to working with the new councillors and the existing ones, and thank you to those of you who are existing councillors who came along, because for me this is partly about knitting together those of us that are already on the council and those that are joining. So thanks again to all of you, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Buenos Aires and working together then and over the forthcoming months. All right, let's wrap it up now, and we can stop the recording. Thank you.